Our theme for Lent is 40 days of love. The subject of the morning is when love falters, when love lets you down. My text is the familiar scene from the Garden of Gethsemane, found on page 883, chapter 14 of the Gospel of Mark, beginning to read at verse 32. And they went to a place which was called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." Going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible to thee. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what thou wilt." And he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And on two other occasions he interrupted his prayer time there and came and found them sleeping. And then if you will look at verse 41, the third time he came, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." And the text of the morning is that little phrase, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" Let us pray silently for a moment. In Christ's name, amen. The day Christ died was a grim scene, but the agony of it began long before he came to Calvary, the place of death. The scene is this. The supper is now over. That upper room experience where the disciples clashed over their ambitions, arguing among themselves who would be the greatest in the coming kingdom, where there was talk that one of them would in fact betray him, it all had come to a rather peaceful and unified ending, for they sang a hymn and then departed out into the night. He took Peter, James, and John with him to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he asked them to watch with him while he prayed, to be alert. He tells them that he feels overwhelmed by the sorrow and the foreboding that surrounded him. He urges them to keep watch and pray, and he goes alone into the garden and there pours out his heart to God. And he raises the essential question, "If it is possible, let this cup pass from me, and yet not as I will, but as you will." He simply went to the garden with two things in mind. He needed the companionship of his friends and their fellowship, and he needed the companionship of God. And I am confident that at some point in time in that garden, he felt that he was lacking in both. And so he came out to see them, and they were asleep. And then he uttered the words of the morning text, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" If you were to read the morning lesson in the original language of Greek, you would see the tone of the scene is one of agony and struggle. As a matter of fact, Jesus says to them that he is overwhelmed with sorrow. He feels hemmed in on every side, and humanly speaking, abandoned, alone, but committed to doing the will of God. So we begin at what seems to be the logical point. And I want to build my thoughts today around three words. And the first word is watch. We need our friends about us in times of stress. But sometimes they let us down. We all have gone through experiences where friends that we counted on did not show up, and did not share in the experience of agony that we were grappling with. And in our own way, we could only affirm what Jesus said, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" When I was a boy, we didn't have television. I'm sure that there are people present here who can remember way back then. And one of my favorite programs was called The Great Gildersleeve. And in that program, there was a character who was an undertaker. I've always loved his name. He was called Digger O'Dell, the friendly undertaker. And he would always end the conversation that he had with anybody that he encountered, "You remember that I will be the last to let you down." It's not a good experience, friends, but love can and will let you down. When things are tough and we need to be surrounded by friends and family, sometimes they let us down. It's interesting to me that this story was ever told, and it would never have been told if Peter, James, and John had not told the story. And I'm sure that they told the story with a sense of hurt and remorse concerning their inability to keep watch for an hour. They must have felt that they had let Jesus down. We put our trust ultimately not in human love, but in the love that will not let us go and the love that will not let us off. Jesus promised us that, "Lo, I am with you always." So be alert. Be alert to the reality that human love may in fact falter and let you down. And then the second word I want to lift up today is the word alone. Some things we have to face must be faced alone. Gethsemane is the private agony of Jesus of Nazareth. There was a meeting there where the record tells us that he sweat, in a sense, drops of great blood. The agony was so deep. The moving moment there is intense as he grapples with his posterity and God's plan for him. It's interesting that while he felt abandoned there and while he felt all alone there, that he came out of that experience with what he needed, the presence of God and the strength and the assurance that he needed. When I was in Budapest last June, the moving moment for me in my visit there was not when the great seminary in Budapest bestowed upon me an honorary degree, but when I preached in a little church. It's a new church development, and they knew in Budapest of my interest in developing new churches. And so they invited me to preach in this little church, a rather primitive place, seat about 100 people. They had packed 150 people into the church that day, and in that church, the tradition is that before the minister stands up to preach, that the congregation sings, "Nearer, my God, to thee." It was one of the most touching moments of my ministry as they sang, "Nearer, my God, to thee." And I wondered at how that hymn must have sustained the Hungarian Christians during all the years of their oppression and domination by the communist authority. And how it was sustaining them now, when life was so hard, as they moved from an economy that was being completely controlled to a free market system. Excuse me, but they're still singing, "Nearer, my God, to thee." You know, the reality is, many of the crucial experiences of life have to be faced alone. Excuse me. I'm having a time in my throat this morning. The good news is the sermon won't be too long. The bad news is it may be longer than you think it will be. You know, the essential things in life we have to face alone. Grief has to be faced essentially alone, because every member of the family is related to the lost loved one in their own individual, authentic way. So everyone grieves alone. A mother's grief for a daughter may be different from the father's grief for the same daughter. We grieve alone. We make our moral decisions alone. There we stand before God, before the world, before witnesses, in the isolation of a moment of moral choice. Now, there are many who try to help us with those choices. There was a man named Fletcher who wrote a book, Joseph Fletcher, who wrote a book called Situation Ethics. And he said every situation stands on itself. He had no absolutes, no firmly fixed moral standards by which to judge a given situation. And so it all became terribly subjective. And I think Fletcher's book is one of the influences that has led us to the moral ambivalence and chaos of the 90s, which basically says, do your own thing. If it feels right for you, it must in fact be right. No absolute standards. That's chaos, because it means that every person is deciding for themselves. And when God has given us certain commandments that He says are commandments, they are not tentative suggestions as to what you or I might do in a given situation. They are the commandments of God. There are certain absolutes that we must hold up our lives against for evaluation and accountability. Moral decisions are essentially made alone. As a matter of fact, all of our struggles are essentially alone. Beverly Sills writes movingly of her two children. The first of them was born deaf. The second was born a Down syndrome child. She took a year off from her work to come to grips with her own struggle concerning her children. And she found herself asking over and over and over and over again, why me? Why me? And then one day she said, I decided to change the question. Why them? And then I was set free. And then I was set free to focus my attention not on my own struggle, but on caring for my children who are the objects of my love. But her struggle had been essentially alone. We set the priorities of our lives alone. You decide what is prior, where you want to spend your time, what you want to spend your money for. You know, I have people say to me every week, I simply don't have time for this, and I don't have time for that. You know, the truth of the matter is we have time for whatever it is important to us. We find the time for the priorities of our lives. We decide, alone, we decide how we are going to spend our dollars, how we're going to spend our time. Have you read this little piece, Take Time to Think? It's the source of power. Take time to play. It's the secret of youth. Take time to read. It is the foundation of wisdom. Take time to laugh. It is the music of the heart. Take time to serve. It is the road to happiness. Take time to dream. It is hitching your wagon to a star. Take time to love. It is the highest joy that we experience. But we make our decisions about time and everything that matters alone. Can you watch with me 1 hour, he said. Can you watch with me just 1 hour? Will human love be faithful? Sad to say, human love often is not faithful. It will let us down. Then we come to the reality that we struggle with the foundational verities of life essentially alone. And then thirdly, we come to the great word of the morning, and that is assurance. He went into that agony of Gethsemane seeking and wanting the companionship of his friends, needing the assurance and companionship of God, and he came out of that place with God's assurance that he would not walk alone. Interestingly enough, if you read the record carefully, you will find that the third time that he came out and found them sleeping, that he said, sleep on, get your rest, which essentially means that he forgave them. A new sense of God's will and God's companionship had gripped him. The suffering of the cross was before him, but he went forward with assurance, knowing that victory would ultimately be his. And when it all was done and over with, and they'd crucified him, one who had watched the scene from very close in the drama of the trial, the arrest, the scourging, the walk through Jerusalem, and the crucifixion itself, a hardened Roman soldier pronounced the verdict. on what he had seen. He said, surely this man was the Son of God. And he was. And friends, that's where we find the assurance for life and for death. And the church and its people, we are charged with telling the story of the great love that sets us free, but the great love that also never lets us off. Did you see the treasures of King Tut that toured this country some years ago? I saw them in a distant city. I enjoyed seeing all that stuff old King Tut had. I wouldn't want any of it for myself particularly. But I love the slogan that the company that moved all that stuff from city to city, they created this slogan, we moved a king's treasures. And that's the business of the church. We are really in charge of sharing the message of Jesus Christ to the world. We have, said Paul, this treasure in earthen vessels. The good news of Jesus Christ is in human hands to tell the story, to get the word around. When Steve Huntley and I was seniors in the seminary, one of our classmates preached his senior sermon on that great text of Paul, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And I'll never forget how he put it. He said, friends, we ministers have diamonds in clay pots. That's graphic, isn't it? But it tells the story. God has entrusted the ministry of reconciliation of Jesus Christ into your hands and mine. We are to carry this treasure to the world. A friend of mine tells in a recent book about a minister who at age 55, in good health, takes early retirement. Retirement at a time when that person should be at the zenith of their usefulness. After all, he was a youngster just like me. In terms of experience and capacity, if he had anything to offer, he should be offering it now. He was asked his reason for taking early retirement. This is what he said, and I quote, there are no easy churches anymore. Listen, friends, nobody ever said it was going to be easy. It never has been. Life is not easy. It never has been and it never will be. And in life, human love is going to let you down. It's not a question of if, it's just a question of when. It's going to happen to you and it will happen to me. Nothing worthwhile ever has been easy. Micah, one of the Old Testament prophets, surveying all of the miseries that his people and nation had faced, came to a rather foundational conclusion about it all. And this is what he said. As for me, I keep watch for the Lord. I wait in hope for the God, my Savior. My God will hear me. Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Now, friends, that's the flag under which I'm going to march. And it's the flag under which I would suggest that you march. There's always going to be struggles. Human love will let us down. But I know this much is true. We wait, we watch, we work in hope. Christ will never let us down. He is light for our darkness. He is strength for our struggles. So be steadfast. Be steadfast. A young teacher at the Moody Bible Institute, yonder in Chicago, married a beautiful girl. And everyone was happy because they were such a fine-looking young couple. A few months after they were married, she had to go to her family's home to take care of some family business. And she was gone a couple of days and he missed her. And he decided that what he and one of her favorite friends would do would be to go out to O'Hare and meet her plane. And then they would all go out to dinner together. The friend's husband would join them for dinner. Her plane came in. And then there was a kind of a delay. And they noticed an ambulance making its way to the plane. The paramedics rushed up the steps to the side door of the plane. And there was a long delay. And they stood there watching this drama unfold, looking through the glass at O'Hare. Then the door opened and a stretcher made its way down the steps. The body was covered. The face was covered. They knew someone then had died. They noticed an arm had dropped out from under the sheet and just dangled along the side of the stretcher. They noted also that a handbag was hanging over the side of the stretcher. And the young husband burst into tears, for he knew that it was his wife's handbag. She had died in her late 20s of a massive heart attack on that airplane. He later described the agony of his grief and the isolation of it. And he said, "I appreciated all the food the neighbors brought over. I appreciated the cards, the letters, the pats on the back, and the encouragement. But all of that helped just a little." He said, what brought me through was the character of God. Because I knew in the final analysis, the only source for help and strength was God. And I discovered the redeeming word that I needed to hear as I reread the story of Job. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Why? Because my Redeemer lives. Listen. Human love is going to let you down. God's love will always hold you in the hollow of his hands. Even when you cannot hear him, your eyes cannot see him, your spirit cannot feel his nearness, God is still holding you in the hollow of his hand. Will you stand for the benediction? Go now in peace. And as you go, remember that by the goodness of God, you were born. And remember that in the mercy of Jesus Christ, you've been redeemed. And remember that he walks with you every day to comfort, to strengthen, to guide. He promised he would. "Lo, I am with you always." And remember, while others have called you servants, he has named you friends. In the strength of that mighty friendship, go forth now to serve in the Master's name. Till we meet again. Amen.